We begin with some U.S. economic history today, the anticipated and imminent bankruptcy of Chrysler Corporation and General Motors. Also will make American legal and financial history because the scale of these bankruptcies, if they actually proceed, will be nothing like we've seen really in certainly in a generation. And the question of what the details of these bankruptcies and restructurings are going to actually look like are starting to emerge. Joining us now to talk about this is Micheline Maynard, senior business correspondent at the New York Times. John Pato, law professor at the University of Michigan. Both join us from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Micheline, good morning.
Good morning, John.
You know, I wish we were just talking about the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup, but no.
Well, at least the Red Wings lined it up last night in time for me to get a little sleep before this morning.
Exactly. Well, I know all of our fans at WDET in Detroit wish we were talking about the Red Wings. Let's talk, first of all, about how people can really understand what's going on here. It seems to me the most important thing to understand, Mickey, is that the complexity of these bankruptcies relates to the fact that both Chrysler and GM got way into debt before getting to this point. So there are a lot of debtors here that have to be dealt with and a lot for judges to do. Mickey?
There's a combination of things first. These companies were laden with cost. Debt is part of it. Operating cost is another. And when on top of all of that, the car market just collapsed on them. I'm not sure if they'd be in great shape if we weren't in this recession, but this recession really was the final blow to them operating as independent companies.
John Pato, a law professor at the University of Michigan, remind us what the complexity is here with all of these creditors standing in line, crowding into court. I don't know what it actually looks like, but the scale of both of these bankruptcies, should they proceed, and again, it's not official, are going to be like nothing we've seen.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the biggest, I don't know if it's going to be the biggest in actual dollar amounts, but certainly the biggest in economic significance bankruptcy we've seen, I can think, ever maybe. You'd have to have a pretty big courtroom to get every single one of the creditors of General Motors in, including you and me as taxpayers, by the way. But what will happen is there'll be secured creditors, that's to say lenders and banks who have got collateral for their loans, you know, where GM's pledged assets, and they'll get paid. And then there'll be priority creditors who are certain creditors like employees or taxing authorities that the bankruptcy code says deserve to be paid ahead of other creditors, and they'll be filing claims. Then there'll be general unsecured creditors like bondholders, people who have invested. They come in there, and then you've got good old stockholders and preferred stockholders who are technically filing claims, but will be wiped out and their claims will be worthless.
You know, the irony here, John, is that while the bondholders appear by your reckoning to be at the bottom end of the sort of creditor list, they also have the power to actually trigger this bankruptcy by basically saying, hey, we're not taking any sort of deal. You pay us now or go into bankruptcy. They have power and then none.
That's right, and I think what they're doing is they're negotiating right now, and these eve of bankruptcy back and forths are sort of like a big game of chicken. The company says, you know, here's our recent proposal, and it was to swap the bond debt for equity in new GM, and they said, listen, if you guys don't take this, bondholders, we're going to have to end up filing for bankruptcy. And the bondholders, at least I saw the vote was like 90% of them said, no, we don't think that's good enough. We'll take our chances in bankruptcy. But it's a pretty risky strategy because the valuation I saw most recently pegs these bondholders at getting between 0 and 10 cents on the dollar at most.
Wow, great investment.
And, you know, left holding the bag or getting a sweetheart deal, depending on what what your point of view is, of course, the U.S. government. And I just want to keep this really tight. How do you think it affects consumers, if at all,
Mickey?
That the government will hold so big of a stake in
right,
these?
The government has already said that people who purchase cars from Chrysler, which is in bankruptcy already, and from General Motors, while it's in bankruptcy, their warranties will be backed by the federal government. I don't know how that's going to actually work in reality. You know, if your car dies on a freeway, you know, do you call Tim Geithner or is there an 800 number?
But call your senator.
That's what they've said, and they wanted to clear up any question about buying vehicles from them because it's really the government putting them into bankruptcy, and, you know, the government has to kind of look out for you as well.
And, John, I know that you're looking at the legal structuring of this kind of a deal as opposed to the auto industry per se and its future, but do you have any thoughts on whether or not a government, you know, owned, largely owned company will be different in terms of, for example, Hummers were incredibly popular due to market forces, but the government has a lot of interest that would go against building a vehicle like that. Now they're no longer popular even on the agenda of production. But if you had a sudden consumer demand for a gas guzzler, would the government just shoot it down?
Yeah, that's the $64 question, which is, will the government now, which they could be owning up to 70% of the equity of GM. They only, and I'm now making like on radio the air quotes, they only own about 10% of Chrysler, but they could be owning up to 70% of GM. And so the question is, are they going to be like any other investor and say, let's make this company as profitable as possible? Or are they going to be, and you know, we're taxpayers, are they going to be like the government? Are they going to try to effectuate government policy through leveraging their control of GM? So they're going to say, listen, we don't care how profitable they are. We want you to start making, you know, green cars because that's what our carbon emission goals are
by
the government.
John, have you ever ridden Amtrak, buddy?
I have. It wasn't on time when I wrote it.
Right. I don't think you necessarily – I think you may have your answer there. In the few minutes before we go, though, Mickey, let's take a look at one incident that John was talking about there. Chrysler spent 9 hours in bankruptcy court dealing with some secured debt holders, all right, who hold about 1% of Chrysler's secured debt. And they're a member of, like, Indiana state pension funds and construction funds. And that was, like, the crucial to the entire Chrysler deal. Can you explain any of this?
Well, what they were arguing was that, first of all, the case shouldn't be heard in New York, which would sort of throw a big ball of wax into the whole thing. And they were also arguing, they came up with a lot of really great stuff as far as those were listening. Apparently, there are a bunch of emails that were indicating that even the lawyers were thinking that the case was moving too quickly and that there were some very angry exchanges between attorneys for the debt holders at Chrysler and the government. And it was apparently quite a vivid situation in the courtroom yesterday. But the point was that they argued that this should not be in bankruptcy court. This was another matter. And the judge basically said, you know, I'm not moving the case. So the drama will continue today.
Right. And of course, the question really is, can Chrysler get out from under enough of this stuff for it to still be attractive to Fiat? What do you think, Mickey?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think Fiat will go through with this. In fact, there were people expecting sale to go through yesterday, but it won't go through until some more of these objections have been heard.
Well, John Pato, let's go back then to the general point. I think, you know, for I raised it with the issue of what's the point of the government owning 75% of something that appears worthless. Stepping back, and again, you're a law professor, is there a business here when judges look at what's left of General Motors? Is there a business?
I think there is. I think the good news, so putting on my optimistic hat of having the government involved, is that they do have a business plan. They are they're massively slashing their bloated dealer network. They are rationalizing, downsizing their number of brands, and they have a plan. The problem is when you're as big as General Motors, you're a financial behemoth that it's hard to get financing for. So the U.S. government's ponying up and said, listen, we'll provide financing so you can survive a reorganization, but we can't just write you a blank check. We have to take something. So we are going to take this giant equity stake. It's not like we're looking to buy investments in the car industry. We're just doing this because we can't tell the taxpayers we're giving you free money. So I take them, you know, maybe I'm naive, but I'm taking them at face value when they say we are becoming reluctant shareholders of General Motors. Well, so it could very well work out. They have a smaller, more profitable business going forward in a couple of years, and then the government owns up to, you know, some huge equity stake in it. The one group I don't want you to forget about is when we talk about these unsecured creditors and the bondholders, the biggest unsecured creditor is the UAW.
Right.
GM's made all these promises about health care, pensions, and stuff.
And they've put a small amount of money up. They'll have a certain equity stake. Before we go, what is the chance that the U.S. government may actually end up taking those pension liabilities and health care liabilities and just folding them into the federal government, that would be the end game here?
Well, they sort of can do that already with something called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is when companies get really screwed up in their pensions, they basically just give up and say, we can't fund our pensions anymore, and they turn it over to the government. We already have a government entity that does that.
So a possible positive thing for workers who are listening this morning. Mickey, you want to call the Red Wings?
Oh, my gosh. Of course it's going to be a repeat.
All right. Well,
are you kidding? I have a bet with Jack Spear over this.
You know,
Jack Spear of
NPR. And I'll give you academic support for that, too.
All right. Great. To all your Stanley Cup and Detroit bankruptcy news here on The Takeaway, Mickey Maynard, senior business correspondent at The New York Times, and John Pato, law professor at the University of Michigan, both in Ann Arbor. Thanks, guys.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.